Good evening. This is Richard Harkness in Washington. One of the main Republican campaign promises was to save the taxpayers' money by cutting the federal payroll. Well, here is where the economy acts may fall first, on government press agents. For this news, and the way it looks from here, I will be back in 1 minute.
When you consider your Christmas gift list, don't forget U.S. savings bonds. This is a most acceptable gift right now, and it will be one which will be remembered in the future. When you give a savings bond, you're participating in future plans, which could include a number of things: education, travel at home and abroad, a home, or a business. Yes, there are any number of ways in which money saved through the purchase of a U.S. savings bond may be used. Not next year, perhaps, but 10 years from now. Other points to remember about U.S. savings bonds are that they are the safest investment in the world. They are most profitable. For every $3 invested in Series E bonds, you receive $4 when the bonds mature. Series E bonds can be redeemed any time after 60 days of purchase at the purchase price plus accrued interest. And unlike currency, savings bonds can be replaced if lost or destroyed. This year, give United States savings bonds. And now here is Richard Harkness.
Well, here is another broadcast tonight about the government payroll. This program will go into 2 points. It will show first what it costs the taxpayers to be educated, informed, promoted, and publicized by the administration in Washington. This program will show second that while the overall federal payroll is going down, the O-line agencies, the agencies which really determine the amount of our post-war taxes, are taking on, meanwhile, more workers. First, on so-called administration publicity men. Check up and you'll find this. There are 23,009 workers on the federal payroll listed as being employed full-time doing educational, informational, promotional, and publicity activities for the administration. Then another 22,769 workers are put down as part-time employees in the same field. Now, that makes a total of 45,778 people on the public payroll doing work which new Republican Congress members are quite likely to look upon as propaganda. Now, these 45,778 persons so implied would make up a sizable city. Figure the percentage of government workers who are married, who have families. This group on the public payroll would make up a city of easily more than 100,000. That means a whole city, a city about as large as Wichita, Kansas, with every person living off the government payroll doing work closely akin to administration propaganda. Official statistics show, too, that this activity is expensive. Adding up the paychecks, the cost of mimeograph machines, printing to release those pamphlets, booklets, and publicity handouts, the cost is estimated in this current fiscal year at $74,829,467. Well, I've checked into what some of the individual government agencies are spending in this field of publicity. There is, among the so-called war agencies, the case of OPA. Now, OPA planned to spend this fiscal year $2.5 million. But the really heavy expenditures for education, information, and promotion come from our regular O-line agencies. Now, here, for instance, is the Department of Commerce, a program set up by ex-Secretary Wallace. Commerce is down for $2,300,000. The Treasury has a program of $11 million, and the Department of Labor came up with a little item of $1,140,000. It may be, appearing before the Appropriations Committee of Congress, appearing before the Joint Economy Committee of Senator Byrd, it may be that these agencies can justify these expenses. Now, there is certainly a legitimate place for an information staff for every major government agency. One example of that is the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, this bureau knows more about our domestic economy and the figures than perhaps any other agency or group in the country. It is important, of course, for newsmen here to be able to get at this information, say, on wages in the coal industry during a coal strike, and pass it on to the public. And the logical man to have this information at his fingertips, to have it available readily, is an information officer or publicity man, call him what you will. However, on the other side of the picture, there was the Chief Treasury Department publicity man under Secretary of Treasury Morgenthau. Morgenthau ran an apple farm in upstate New York. Whenever the secretary was away from Washington, this Treasury publicity man on the government payroll had one must assignment. He had to send to Morgenthau every day he was away by telegraph the New York apple market. Well, anyway, talking today to Representative John Tabor, the Republican of New York, Representative Tabor is out to do away with what he calls government propaganda dispensers and federal press agents. Now, Tabor, you know, will be the new chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, so he will be in a position to deny funds to the various administration and public relations offices. If he can close them all down, Tabor estimates that he will save the taxpayers $100 million a year. And as Tabor sees it, the money saved would not be as important as the principle involved. Tabor believes that propaganda is not a function of the federal government. So the 45,000-plus persons on the government payroll who are on Tabor's book as propagandists, they may be looking for private jobs before very long. It is, however, as everyone who has covered Washington knows, difficult to pare down the public payroll. Now, here's just one example. Here Tabor, a new Republican chairman, is promising to purge the government payroll of public relations job holders. At the same time, here is another new committee chairman, Representative Knudsen of Minnesota, another Republican. Knudsen will be chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee in the new Congress. And Knudsen is thinking of adding a public relations man to his staff committee to keep the public informed on taxes. Representative Tabor, when he begins wielding this Republican economy axe of his, will not limit his slashes to administration publicity men only. Tabor believes that he can and should cut the government payroll altogether by 1 million federal workers. Well, that brings us to the second point of this broadcast. The number of federal workers is going down. The number was over 3 million during the peak of the war, and now for October, the last figures available, the payroll is down to 2,400,000. And from September to October of this year, the latest figures available, these statistics show a net decrease on the public payroll of 40,000 workers. That, however, is only part of the story. This whole drop in the payroll came within the War and the Navy departments. And adding up the pay lists of the regular government agencies, the peacetime agencies, the real foundation of the federal payroll, these agencies show an increase in names put on the payroll. The net increase between September and October, taking out the Army and Navy, the net increase was 7,902. Well, here are some cases of those facts. The Republicans controlling the new Congress will call, of course, on the Bureau of the Budget to recommend means of economizing in government. However, when these Republicans look at the employment figures of the Budget Bureau itself, they will find that this agency added 8 employees in October. Then the Commerce Department put on in 1 month 3,300 new workers. President Truman, as we know, decontrolled meat in mid-October. Well, that made it plain that the price agency, the OPA, was all through. However, from September to October, OPA added 42 workers. One agency taking a big jump in employment was the War Assets Administration. War Assets has an important job. It must dispose of some $100 billion worth of surplus war goods. Still, the agency had 53,000 persons on the government payroll in September, and in October, the number had jumped to 57,000, a gain of more than 3,500. So, as the Republicans charge, while there is an overall decrease in the government payroll, the old-line agencies, the real foundation of any federal bureaucracy, well, those payrolls are going up. Now, one point here, the Republicans will not be alone in applying old-fashioned economy to the federal payroll. They will have, it seems, the full-hearted support of Senator Harry Byrd, the Democrat of Virginia. Senator Byrd says this, and I'm quoting, he says the now familiar pattern repeats itself. The War and Navy Department slowly disgorge their huge numbers of war employees. Certainly of the old line agencies, too, are reducing their employment. But others take on large numbers of new workers. Now, Senator Byrd draws this conclusion. He says it is obvious now that voluntary reductions in the government payroll cannot be expected. He believes that the only remedy is additional legislation which will make further cuts in the payroll mandatory. So, it is plain from the news tonight, the Republicans plan to start on government propaganda dispensaries. They plan to begin work on federal press agentry. And the target for the Republicans is a big one. Almost 46,000 workers engaged in administration, education, information, promotion, and publicity. They cost the taxpayers each year $75 million. For the other news tonight, here is the latest report from the front of labor and management. Now, the spot development is this. The Longshoremen's Union, a strategic group belonging to the CIO, came out today with its wage demand. This union, led by Harry Bridges, is asking for a raise of 14 cents an hour to meet the increased cost of living. Now, putting this spot news with the background, we come up with this. We have now CIO wage demands in four basic industries: in automobiles, steel, production of electrical goods, and now in shipping. Now, there may be no national CIO strike pattern. However, if any group wanted to tie up the country, officials here in Washington say tonight that that would be the way to go about it, by closing down the steel industry, by dropping the strike anchor on shipping, and by shutting down automobile and electrical production. There is, too, tonight, other evidence that labor is acting in concert. There is a proposal, you know, that the CIO, the AFL, and the Railroad Brotherhoods join together in a joint strike fund. Then, counting the basic industries under control of the CIO, adding the soft coal miners with John L. Lewis and the AFL, adding the Railroad Brotherhoods, which can strike the railroads, you do approach what Alfred P. Sloan, chairman of General Motors, called in a speech today a labor monopoly. So far, this joint all-labor strike fund has been largely talk. However, today, the executive board of the United Automobile Workers, CIO, meeting in New York, did give the plan its approval, and that at least is a starter. Then here's another angle to the power of labor. The National Federation of Telephone Workers, an independent union, is calling today for a raise of 33%. Union leaders are giving the telephone companies until April 7, 1947, to meet that demand of $12 raised a week. Otherwise, these telephone union leaders say they will call a walkout. So this evening, we must add still another vital industry, communications, to the list under a possible strike threat for 1947. It should be reported, however, that the labor picture is not completely dark. The CIO packing house workers signed a new contract early today with Armour and Company. And while southern mine owners still refuse, coal operators from the north, from the Midwest, say tonight that they are willing to begin contract negotiations at any time with John L. Lewis. Now, there is, finally tonight, a new note on national politics here in the Capitol. The Democrats are talking now a definite ticket for 1948. There is the word of Mr. Truman for president, James A. Farley for vice president. The politicians, it seems, are getting down to cases. Thank you. This is Richard Harkness saying good night.
Something's in the air, people say, when they talk of a new trend or a change in the public thinking. And since radio has been a part of the world scene, there's been plenty in the air. There's music, song, drama, discussion, sporting events, news. In a free country like ours, we pick and choose our own leaders. We establish our own social and economic systems. America was founded upon freedom of choice, and this same freedom of choice extends to our private lives. We're free to express our tastes and preferences in art, in the theater, in books, newspapers, and radio listening. Thousands of listeners keep their radio dials tuned to their nearest NBC station. There's plenty in the air of all kinds of programs, and the listener's first choice is always NBC. Listening to NBC becomes a habit. And it's a pleasant habit for millions of alert Americans who expect the best in radio programs. The best is what they hear when they're tuned to NBC or one of its independent affiliated stations. You have just heard Richard Harkness, NBC Washington correspondent, reporting on the federal payroll. Tune in at the same time tomorrow evening when Mr. Harkness will be heard again. This program came from Washington. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.